So imagine standing in front of like a completely full pantry and you're complaining that you have absolutely nothing to eat.
Right, which honestly happens all the time.
Yeah, exactly. And why do we do it? Because the ingredients aren't, already assembled into some convenient microwave meal. We just completely ignore the raw material sitting right in front of us.
Oh, absolutely. And organizations do this exact same thing with their resources. I mean, every single day.
They really do. And that's why today we are exploring this massive paradigm shift. Welcome to our latest exploration into the source material. We're diving into this incredibly insightful article by Dr. Fay.
Yes, from the Christian Advantage newsletter.
Right. It's titled, What's Already in Your Hands? Conducting the Church Asset Inventory. And this all falls under a really compelling framework she calls the 164-hour church.
Which is such a great concept.
It really is. I mean, if you do the math, there are 168 hours in a week. Subtract a few hours for Sunday services, and you have about 164 hours left over for, actual community impact.
Yeah, the bulk of the week, really.
Exactly. So the core premise here is that before an organization asks for more money or volunteers or property to fill those hours, they need to stop and actually examine the capacity that's already sitting right under their nose. So what does this all mean?
Well, it means we're fundamentally talking about shifting away from a mindset of deficit, always looking at what you lack, and moving toward this proactive act of stewardship.
Right, taking ownership.
Exactly. It's the process of making the invisible visible. Organizations, especially community and faith-based ones, they often get trapped in this cycle of thinking they just can't act until they acquire new resources.
Yeah, the whole we need a grant before we can start mentality.
Right. But this source material argues that capacity is almost always present well before leadership actually recognizes it.
And the article anchors this whole idea in historical precedent that, I mean, it perfectly illustrates why we fail to see what we already have.
Yeah, it brings up that story from 2 Kings in the Bible.
Right, where a widow is facing the absolute loss of everything, her resources are just gone, and her whole household is at risk. But the prophet Elisha, he doesn't look at her and ask what she lacks.
Which is what most of us would do, right?
Exactly. Instead, he asks her, "What hast thou in the house?"
And her response is incredibly telling. She answers with something that sounds so small. I mean, just a pot of oil.
Right, she basically dismisses it.
She nearly dismisses it entirely. Yet in the narrative, that very thing she almost ignored becomes the starting point of a miracle. And the text uses this to really redefine what an asset actually is.
Yeah, a total redefinition.
It defines a church asset as anything God has entrusted to the ministry that can be responsibly aligned with its assignment.
Right, because when we hear the word asset, everybody's brain immediately jumps to like the bank account.
Oh, instantly. Dollars and cents.
But the author points out that a congregation isn't just a group of people, it's this dense concentration of lived experience.
Yes,
I
absolutely.
mean, an ordinary member sitting in the third row might be a retired principal who knows exactly how the local school system operates.
Or a general contractor who could just walk a facility and immediately evaluate its structural needs.
Exactly. We just don't see it because we're not actively looking for it. And I actually want to pause and ask you, listening right now, what stands out to you when you look in your own proverbial pantry?
That's a great question to reflect on.
Are you dismissing the raw materials you already have just because they don't look like a finished meal?
What's fascinating here is that what looks completely ordinary on the surface is very often the exact starting point of extraordinary capacity.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
But the critical takeaway is that we cannot faithfully deploy what we haven't taken the time to deliberately recognize.
That is so true. So, if we look past just the bank account, how do we actually audit this pantry? Like, what are we actually looking for?
Well, the author provides this framework spanning seven different lenses, and you really have to start with the human element.
Okay, the people.
Yes. And this goes way beyond asking people where they want to volunteer on a Sunday morning. It's about uncovering what they've learned through their professions, their trades, and even through hardship.
Wow, even hardship.
Yeah. Do they speak multiple languages?
Yeah.
Do they have grant compliance expertise? And then from there, you look at your physical footprint, your property, space, and equipment.
And for the physical stuff, the text emphasizes you have to actually physically walk the property.
Yes, you can't do it from a desk.
Right. You can't just assume a van sitting in the parking lot is a usable asset. You need to know if it actually needs repairs or if it's insured or, if you even have a qualified driver.
Exactly. You evaluate your physical assets alongside your digital reach. So your technology and communication tools that let you serve beyond your physical walls.
Right.
But some of the most crucial and honestly often ignored assets are your relationships and community knowledge.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, think about who in your organization already has trusted access to civic leaders or nonprofits or the local school board.
Because trust isn't something you can just buy.
Not at all. Trust takes years of faithful presence to build. It also means knowing which families in the neighborhood are struggling, or knowing which outreach approaches simply won't work based on the local culture.
Yeah, that localized knowledge is huge.
And finally, the seventh lens, you have to capture your stories, outcomes, and evidence, gathering testimonies and participation records.
Now, here's where it gets really interesting, and I'm going to push back on this just a little bit.
Sure, go for it.
Gathering participation records and mapping out relational access to civic leaders. That sounds, I don't know, heavily administrative.
It does sound a bit formal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It almost feels like a corporate audit is creeping into a community spiritual space. Does a church really need to act like a business with all this evidence gathering?
It's a very natural reaction to feel that way. But if we look at the author's reasoning, it isn't about corporate bureaucracy at all. It's really about preventing the permanent loss of history.
Okay, preserving history. I can see that.
Think about it. Churches and community groups do incredibly meaningful work. But if it goes undocumented, that valuable history just disappears the moment key people move on or retire.
Oh, right. Because it only lives in someone's head.
Exactly. Without evidence and documented outcomes, future leaders, and especially potential funders, they will never truly understand what the ministry has accomplished. Trust and relationships aren't just warm feelings, they are actual ministry capacity that needs to be preserved.
That makes a lot of sense. But how does a leader actually map all this out without just sitting in a back office guessing at what they have?
Well, that is precisely the trap you want to avoid. You cannot do this from memory, and you certainly can't do it alone.
So no solo audits.
Right. The text strongly advises bringing in multiple perspectives to complete the inventory, because if you only ask the administrators, you'll get a very narrow administrative list.
Yeah, you'd miss everything happening on the ground.
Exactly. You have to have the youth group, the elders, the volunteers. You really need a 360-degree view to actually see everything you hold.
Okay, let's unpack this. Once you get that 360-degree view and you map out all your people, your spaces, and your community trust, you've suddenly found all this hidden capacity.
A lot of hidden capacity.
Right. So the natural human impulse is to just fire it all up. Launch the new program. If we find a brilliant, shiny new tool in the toolbox, why leave it sitting there? Isn't it a huge waste to let an asset go unused?
If we connect this to the bigger picture, the goal of an inventory is never immediate activation.
Wait, really? Never?
Never. Think about it. Discovering a member has expertise doesn't mean they actually have the desire or the emotional bandwidth to lead a new initiative right now.
Oh, that's true. Just because I can do something doesn't mean I have the time for it.
Exactly. Or a room might exist, but it might need expensive repairs before it's actually safe to use. You have to run every single discovered asset through a filter of discernment.
Which means asking the hard questions before moving forward.
Yes. There are four main discernment questions. First, is this asset genuinely aligned with our mission and a real community need?
Right. So we aren't just doing things to do things.
Exactly. Second, is it actually available or does it just look good on paper? Third, is it ready, meaning safe, insured, and properly led?
Okay. And the fourth?
And crucially, the fourth is it sustainable? Can we use this without exhausting our people or destabilizing the work we are already doing?
Burnout is such a real risk.
It is. Wise stewardship is fundamentally about protecting your people, your property, and your reputation. The goal is to understand everything you have so that leadership can make deeply sound, informed decisions rather than just reacting to what's shiny and new.
So clarity really has to come before expansion. And when you make that capacity visible, so many new possibilities open up. I mean, you stop copying what other organizations are doing because you can finally connect real community needs with their own existing strengths.
Yes. And it makes any future grant requests highly specific and incredibly credible.
Definitely.
And to help organizations get to that point, the author leaves leadership teams with three immediate practical questions to start this whole process.
Oh, I love actionable takeaways. What are they?
First, what has God already entrusted to us? Second, which of those assets are active, underused, unavailable, or unready?
And third,
what is one single asset we should examine carefully before our very next meeting?
It's a brilliant place to start, just taking that one next step. And just as a quick teaser, our next dive into this source material will cover Your Building is More Than a Building.
Which is a fantastic section.
It really is. It explores turning underused physical spaces into sustainable community capacity. But for today, I want to leave you with a final thought.
Go for it.
Dr. Fay states plainly, funders do not create ministry capacity. They invest more confidently when usable assets are already visible.
That is so powerful.
Right. So I want you to think about your own life, your career, or your personal projects right now. How often are you waiting for external funding, whether that's waiting for more time, waiting for more help, or waiting for more money to finally launch your next chapter?
We all do it.
We do. But have you ever taken a documented inventory of what you already possess? Could your lack of clarity over the pot of oil already sitting in your house be the very thing delaying your own expansion?